This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Jason, as someone who's rooted for Machado, who passionately supports the Orioles, what's your reaction to him being out and headed west?
This has been sort of a fait accompli here around Baltimore for a long time. They never really attempted to re-sign him. I guess 3 years ago, they dabbled with the idea. They got quasi-close, and then it just kind of faded into the ether. When he came back from the second knee surgery and they didn't try to sign him right then and there, everyone knew the window had pretty much passed. And if he continued to be Manny Machado, that he was going to end up getting his 300, 350, however many millions he gets somewhere else, that wouldn't fit with the model here, especially after they gave Chris Davis $161 million. They still owe him $92 million more, and he's arguably the least productive hitter in all the major leagues this year. So we knew this was coming. I wish they had done it a year earlier, Amy, and gotten even more for him. But now it's just a matter of, you know, I've been talking to my kids about this for over a year, that, look, he's not going to be a part of your childhood. Like, he'll be gone before you guys are, you know, 7 and 12 years old and 14 years old, respectively. It's just a matter of what they get back for him. And we go to a lot of minor league games. The cool thing about being an Orioles fan is all the affiliates from rookie league on up are within a four-hour drive of our house, and most of them are within an hour. So I can't wait for them to make this trade, and then before I leave for training camps, to hopefully go see some of these kids make their minor league debuts for the Orioles, and then, you know, get this new era going. Zach Britton's got to be traded. Brad Brock's got to be traded. Adam Jones has got to be traded. Mark Trumbo's got to be traded. Danny Valencia's got to be traded. And then I think Michael Givens or Kevin Gausman, maybe both, need to be traded. This is a full rebuild.
Is that it, Jason?
Other than that, it should be a really boring trade deadline around here.
Okay, we'll see. Thanks, Jason. Let's talk about football now, which is, of course, your area of expertise. And the big news over the last 24 hours is Le'Veon Bell and the Pittsburgh Steelers not coming to an agreement on a long-term deal. It looks like he'll hit free agency. And I had fun asking my listeners this question on our last show. But when you think about him getting to the free agent market and you think about the contract he turned down, wowzers. So what is he worth? What does the NFL market dictate that Le'Veon Bell, who will be a 27-year-old running back, is worth when he gets there?
I could be wrong, but I've had this debate with some NFL executives, just guys with no dog in the fight, but what do you think about the Bell situation? How could he walk away from that much money? And I get it. And if he blows out his knee, you know, week four, then obviously he will have made a monumental mistake. But I believe that on the open market next year, with the cap continuing to go up and with there always being 6 to 8 teams in this league who have infinitely more cap space than they could ever spend, even if they wanted to, and teams that have over the years had difficulty attracting players, it only takes one team, Amy. And will somebody give him $16.5 million a year with 2.5 years of that salary guaranteed or so? You know, upwards of, let's say he gets 16 a year, and that's 32, 38, 39 guaranteed. I don't think it's out of the question. I really don't. And it only takes one. You know, could I see the Jets pay him $16 million a year after they were willing to pay Cousins $30 million a year and he turned them down, and they have a lot of that budgeted money left over, and you've got a young quarterback in Sam Darnold in 2019, and he needs some weapons around him, and they like their young receiver group, and none of those guys are making money yet? I could totally see it. So I do think he'll get that money. The question is, in the meantime, can Todd Gurley or David Johnson raise the bar while Le'Veon Bell has to sit out? He can't negotiate with anybody until next March. So that'll be the question. And what do the Cardinals now do with David Johnson? Because there obviously won't be a Le'Veon Bell long-term deal to negotiate off of. He's obviously still on the franchise tag. Can he go out and get, say, $14 million a year on a long-term deal with, you know, 30-ish million guaranteed, 32-ish million guaranteed? We'll see.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Jason, because that's another question. If Le'Veon Bell ends up getting this blockbuster deal that he's after, does it boost the market for running backs as a whole? Does it end up then serving as this catalyst like it has for quarterbacks and their deals, where every guy who comes behind him benefits? Or is he more of the aberration because of how much of the Pittsburgh offense he's accounted for in the last 2 years?
I think he'll still be something of a unicorn in the way that a Gurley and David Johnson, I don't know how many other guys enter that conversation who, like, you could legitimately say about Le'Veon Bell, so I'm going back to $16 million because that's what Jarvis Landry got. And a lot of people in this league feel like Jarvis Landry is a very good football player, but he's not a difference maker. He's not, his team hasn't won anything. He doesn't get in the end zone all that much, and he averages under 10 yards per catch. So Le'Veon Bell averages 9 yards a catch almost as a running back, and he's only lining up in the slot sometimes. He's catching a lot of wheel routes. He's catching a lot of screens. He's catching a lot of balls behind the line of scrimmage. And if he lined up and ran a full route tree, which he can do, in Jarvis Landry's spot and just played receiver, you don't think he could put up Jarvis Landry numbers? But he does that. Plus, he saves the quarterback's neck on third and long by chipping and selling out to block people as an extra offensive lineman. And he could win first, second, third, or fourth down for you with the ball in his hands as a running back. So when you look at all that in totality, and to your point, the percentage of the offense that he is, and especially for a team that's not Pittsburgh, that doesn't have a Ben Roethlisberger, that doesn't have an Antonio Brown, that isn't always drafting tremendous skill players like Juju Smith-Schuster, you know, Martavis Bryant, who always find these values and these gems in the draft, if you don't have all that around you, maybe you say, that's what I say, there's one team to say, let's give him $16 million. Let's pay him like a wide receiver because who cares? We're going to throw the ball to him 100 times and we're going to hand the ball to him 250 times or whatever.
Although that does work against a guy who has a ton of carries and a lot of miles on the body, because eventually, Jason, you don't get back what you invested in him, that diminishing rate of returns because his body's taking so much pounding.
Yeah, and I mean, that's why the structure will be important and how much of that third year is guaranteed. He's going to be able to get 2 years fully guaranteed, I think, on the open market. But I go back to, if he's making 16 a year and that's 32, can he then get, you know, 40% or half of year three salary, that extra $6 to $8 million fully guaranteed at the time of signing? So the Steelers don't guarantee money into the third year, basically, as a rule, for anything other than the rarest of quarterback contracts. So I haven't seen the entirety of their offer. I'm privy to some of it. I don't know the full guarantee at signing, but their guarantees are generally pretty low. And the average per year isn't what he wanted. It's 15, and I continue to hear he wanted 16.5 or more. But I think the guarantee is where the money probably is more dramatically different. He's, I believe, sitting there thinking he could get between 35 and 40 guaranteed on the open market, and I would be stunned if the Steelers were higher than 28-ish.
We're spending a few minutes with Jason LaCanfora. That means the summer is nearly over. Our CBS NFL insider joining us after hours on CBS Sports Radio. Piece of news that broke today. The Rams give Brandon Cooks a 5-year extension worth roughly $80 million. So as we project forward now, Jace, what does that mean for Julio Jones?
I don't think it really means much. Julio, I mean, he got his payday. You know, I mean, Julio decided to make a deal a few years back. Which, was it every single penny he could possibly get? No, but it was better than having to play out a fifth year and getting franchised and all that stuff, you know, which is a trade-off. You're taking the bird in hand, and you're mitigating your injury risk, and maybe you're not getting every dime you would get if you played out your contract for another 18 months, but you also don't have to play out your contract for another 18 months before you know, how much real money you're going to get beyond what you came into slotted as a rookie. So I don't think it has that much to do with it. I think if Odell Beckham got 3 years, $65 million fully guaranteed, I think that's when Julio Jones' bell would start ringing and say, wait a minute, the market has just moved monumentally in a way that we haven't seen it before. Similar to what the Cousins deal has already done for, you know, and will continue to do for quarterbacks down the road. So I don't know that it affects it that much. I mean, to me, this is just another deal that's in line with what guys got on the open market. Now, Cooks wasn't on the open market, and Sammy Watkins was, and I think that $16 million a year is going to look really bad really soon for the Chiefs. And again, Jarvis Landry, I think he's going to have a hard time. I think that offense will be better, and I think he'll contribute, but I don't know that he's going to be a $16 million receiver in the slot for the Browns either, but he got that money. So Cooks is interesting to me, Amy, because two of the best coaches I've ever seen in my lifetime walked away from this kid in 2 years.
Ah.
So, and the Rams just gave him $16 million a year, and he's never paid a snap for them. But Sean Payton said, I can live without him. And Bill Belichick on a team that Edelman's got his suspension, and they don't have skilled players at all, and he said, I can live without him. That would give me a little pause.
Interesting points. Time will tell how it works out with the Rams. Jason, what leverage does Earl Thomas have when it comes to negotiations with the Seahawks?
It starts week one. If he sits out camp, which I think he's totally prepared to do, and then also if he's willing to do, you know, what Dwayne Brown did last year, which is to say, I'm only going to show up for enough games to get my accrued season. You know, I'll be there. You know, you can see me week 10, and they start slowly, and he's not there, and they could get a player and a pick for him or whatever, then I think he has a lot of leverage. I have a hard time seeing him playing a full season this year for the Seattle Seahawks. I have continued to hear, you know, trade rumblings about him going all the way back to the combine. And when there's that much smoke, there's eventually fire. And it could have happened before the draft, and it didn't. And now I would circle the start of training camp, and I would circle roster cutdowns when everybody gets down to 53 and every general manager and every pro personnel guy are talking to every other general manager and every other pro personnel guy, and we generally see a flurry of activity. It could happen then if a contending team feels like they're short at safety. And then I would look at the trade deadline next in November. And I just, for a lot of different reasons, he's an elite enough of a player who knows they won't pay me, but somebody else will. And it only takes one team to do it. And if they're not going to do it, then I'm going to be willing to sit out at least for some period of time to try to get what I think I deserve.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
One of the things that we just found out in the last couple of days is that the NFL has yet again seen an increase in revenue, a record $8 billion with a B, $8 billion distributed to the member club. So distributed to the 32 teams. So Jason, I'm using my air quotations when it comes to controversy in the NFL, because it doesn't feel like it has affected anything, considering all of the news around football. What does it mean to you when you hear record amounts of revenue?
I'm not surprised in the least, and I've been writing this repeatedly through the offseason when it comes to, you know, player contracts and who got what, and people saying the Cousins deal is, you know, crazy and how could you do that. And I'm like, when you take a step back and you look at this at the macro level, don't get caught up in the sort of culture war over players taking a knee and what it allegedly means and Papa John and Donald Trump. Follow the money. Everybody complains about Thursday Night Football. What did Fox do? They blew the roof off it, right?
Yeah.
They paid way more than anybody else has ever paid.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
For a product that everybody's saying is deteriorating. Then you have in early January, Verizon comes in, there's a $2 billion streaming deal. And there's going to be, eventually somebody's going to pay for the right to do, I'm going to butcher this, is it GIFs or GIFs or whatever? All the stuff that the NFL's saying you can't do on social media right now, eventually Twitter or Facebook or someone is going to bid to be the exclusive place where you can do that. And, oh yeah, you can now gamble legally in like 5 states, and 5 years from now it'll probably be 25. So what does that mean for the NFL? And proprietary data. And you want all this stuff that only we have rights to? Well, William Hill or Ladbrokes or whatever, you can bid to be the official, you know, we're only going to give one of you guys betting powers in stadiums. What do you think that would go for?
Well, knowing the NFL, it would be some shocking number that would blow us all away. Jason, let's talk about what's right in front of us. Training camps. They're almost here, which is crazy. But I always enjoy asking you this question. Blank canvas. What are some of the storylines that you're all jazzed up about as we get back to football?
I mean, look, I'm not going to sit here and try to, you know, reinvent the wheel or get too cute. It's all about quarterbacks, right? I mean, we know that's what this league is. And we just set a record with five of them going in the first round. So a lot of my time this preseason will be spent seeing those kids in practice and then in at least one preseason game. And there's that constant need. And you couple that with all the quarterbacks who changed locales, right? Kirk Cousins. And he doesn't want to say it's Super Bowl or bust, but when you get a record-setting contract for a team that, you know, was on the cusp of a Super Bowl last year with Case Keenum, a journeyman vagabond at quarterback, I got news for you, a $30 million man. It's Super Bowl or bust. And Tom Brady at age 41, can he win another MVP? And Aaron Rodgers off of a year where he didn't play, can he lift that team? And I mean, to me, those are the storylines. I mean, Russell Wilson, he's got 2 years left on his deal. You know, but nobody even talks about it. You know, like nobody talks about what Russell Wilson is going to be worth a year from now, and how does that play out in Seattle with everybody who's already left, and what does that mean for Russell Wilson? Can they finally run the football since Marshawn Lynch left? Does he finally have an offensive line? Does he start seeing his football mortality with all the hits he takes? Deshaun Watson coming back, all those guys got hurt last year coming back from injury. John Gruden and Derek Carr, how does that work? Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, right? Will he live up to the hype? You've got Winston, and, you know, I don't think he can salvage himself in Tampa at this point. I don't know that the Glazers could ever put, you know, money in his pocket again on a long-term deal. But what does his future hold? And does Mariota take a step forward? And Trubisky with Nagy, whatever we're supposed to call him today, how does that play out? You know, there's a lot of hype there, too. I'm not sure I'm buying that one, but we'll see. It was Jared Goff an anomaly, and Garoppolo with Shanahan for a full season. I mean, that's what I mean, that's just off the top of my head, but I probably covered half the league, you know. Ben angling for another contract. Here in Baltimore, where I live, how much of the field does Lamar Jackson see and how soon? I guarantee you he sees the field some in week one. It's just a matter of how much. So, and Darnold and Rosen, how quickly do they see the field? And Baker Mayfield and, you know, Josh Allen. So that's what it's all about. We saw more quarterback activity this offseason via trades, free agent guys changing teams, playoff quarterbacks changing, right? Keenum, Taylor, Cousins, guys who've been to playoffs last year or the year before, flat out changing teams basically, I mean, in their prime. I mean, to say that Keenum had a prime, but, I mean, he had a tremendous year. And then you've got all the five kids drafted, and then you've got teams that didn't make decisions like the Giants. Will they rue the fact that they could have had any of these quarterbacks and they took none of them, hoping that a running back can save their quarterback? I mean, I just think it's delicious subplot after delicious subplot.
Right. But you actually had me at quarterback about 3 seconds in. You should see this giant grin on my face right now. I can't wait. Jason Lockin, former CBS NFL insider, back from vacation. Summer's over, man. Get to work. It's just really good to hear your voice again. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes.
Likewise, Amy. My pleasure. Thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.